Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Megillah. This series of recordings is a joint project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. This will be a short recording today. We are just doing the bottom of Yud Chet Amud Aleph, 18a. We find ourselves 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines from the bottom at the very end of the line. And we are going back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah has a phrase. You can see it, it's right after the two dots. V'haloes sheshama ashuri yatza v'chula. A person who is a loes, that is a foreigner, or someone who speaks a foreign language, who heard the Megillah in Ashurit, Assyrian, but by Assyrian we mean Hebrew, written in the Assyrian block script. So he's a foreigner who doesn't speak Hebrew, and he hears it in Hebrew, yatza, he fulfills his obligation even though he didn't understand it. And this is the Gemara's question. The halo yada mai kamri, but he doesn't know what they're saying. Meaning he's sitting there in the Megillah reading, listening to the Megillah being read, but he doesn't understand Hebrew, he doesn't know what's going on. And this, of course, is true of many Jews who go to hear Megillah readings. They don't really speak Hebrew, so it's a good question. So the Gemara says, midei, well, since Dahava anashim va'ame ha'aretz, but we have other people who don't understand Hebrew. For instance, there are women who don't understand Hebrew. So they're speaking about a time when it was an empirical fact that many women just did not understand the Hebrew, but they went to hear the Megillah anyway because it was their religious obligation, but they didn't understand it. Or ame ha'aretz, or other men who were not well educated, they went to hear the Megillah and didn't understand it either. So those women and uneducated men, I don't know why it doesn't imply that there were some educated women. There certainly were, but not sure. Those people went to hear the Megillah, and it seems like they fulfilled their obligation. So perhaps you don't need to understand the Megillah in order to be yotze. Matkifla Ravina. So Ravina attacks this idea that you have to understand it in order to be yotze. Atu anan, we too. Don't put it all on women and uneducated men. We too, even us rabbis, have a problem. Like, for instance, there's a phrase in the Megillah that says, ha'achash diranim b'nei haramachim. It's referring to certain people. Often in the Megillah, they translate achash diranim as nobles. B'nei haramachim are the son of princes. Mi adina, we don't know what this means. We don't know the exact definition. In all of our research, we haven't been able to figure out exactly what this means. I actually saw an interesting commentary, I think from the Yavitz, who says that achash diranim are actually camels. They're actually dromedary camels, camels with two humps, and you sit in between the two humps like you're in a saddle. So there are different interpretations as to what these words mean. So when you hear them, even if you're an educated rabbi, you are not 100% certain what they mean. Now, there is a difference between not speaking Hebrew at all and speaking Hebrew very well, but not having an exact mesorah as to the meaning of these words. But nonetheless, all we're saying is that it's possible that we wouldn't understand every word in the Megillah and we could still be yotze. Ella, rather, says Ravina, mitzvat kriya upirsume nisa. When the rabbis hear these words that they don't understand, there are two issues. One is kriya, one is reading the Megillah, and one is pirsume nisa, publicizing the miracle. So even though they don't understand these two words exactly, still by reading the Megillah and hearing all the words of the Megillah, they are publicizing the miracle. Hachanami, here too in the case of foreigners who don't understand Hebrew, uneducated men and uneducated women. Mitzvat kriya upirsume nisa. There's both the mitzvah of reading, which they will be able to understand, meaning they're hearing the reading of the Megillah, and publicizing the miracle. Now, it seems like reading has to do with just hearing, even if you don't understand it. And pirsume nisa, publicizing the miracle, requires you to understand the miracle. That's so you have to understand it. Now, Rashi wants to solve the problem. So he says that what's going to happen is all these people that don't understand Hebrew will ask someone else, oh, what's the story about? And they'll explain to them what's being read. And by being explained to them what's being read, then there's pirsume nisa. So even though they didn't understand it when it was read, they understand it afterwards. So perhaps we could say in our situation, many people know the story of Purim, but they don't know all the Hebrew. So they reading the Megillah, and they know the general storyline, and maybe they understand some of the words. So by that, they fulfill pirsume nisa, even though they're not able to even though they're not able to understand all of it, by getting the general storyline, they are able to understand the miracle, and that is the publicizing of the miracle. But it's not clear at all. The Ran relates this back to the question of whether or not you can read the Megillah to whether or not the Megillah can be written in other languages. Certainly, he says, if it's written in another language and read in another language, certainly you can fulfill the mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa. The question is whether or not you can fulfill the obligation of Kriya, which maybe only would apply to Hebrew. Okay, we're going to move on. We have two more dots again, and we go on to the next phrase in the Mishnah, which is Kra'a Sirugin Yatsa. If you read it in this way that we call Sirugin, which means in an alternating fashion. And the next phrase in the Mishnah will be umit namneim, if you are like half asleep, then you fulfill your obligation in both these cases. But we have to understand what it means in alternating fashion. So the Gemara says, lo have yadi rabbanan my serugin. The rabbis did not know what serugin meant. So this comes back to a theme that we just discussed, which is, we also don't know what the word, we didn't know what the word ha-chashtranim b'nei ha-ramachim meant. So the rabbis here are indicating that there are limits to what they know. Now we're actually about to tell five stories here in which the rabbis didn't know the meaning of a particular word and learned it from an unlikely source. So the rabbis were trying to understand what sirugin meant, because you have to know what sirugin means in order to understand what is a permitted behavior regarding sirugin in reading the Megillah. So they were debating the different possibilities about what Seirugin meant. And these are the students of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the students of Rabbi Judah the Prince, who was the editor of the Mishnah. And as they were debating it, Shamuha La'amta Debe Rebbe, they heard the head of household, this is the matron, she was like the woman who ran the household for Rebbe. Rebbe was quite wealthy and he had a whole staff of servants. Dika Amra Lahula Rabbanan, and she was saying to the rabbis, Dahavu Aili Paski Paski Lebe Rabbi. So all the students of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi were coming to visit the Rebbe, and they were coming in little clumps. So these students were coming in, Dahavi Aili, they were going up to visit Rebbe, Paski Paski, in groups and groups, little clumps of students, to the house of Rebbe. And she said to them, Ad Matai Atem Nichnasim Serugin Serugin. So she says to them, and it sounds like she's like a little, you know, annoyed at them because like, you know, every 2 seconds, somebody's knocking on the door and there's three more students there and they could have all come at one time, but coming in clumps and clumps is like, you know, a little, was irritating to her. She says, how long are you guys going to keep coming in? Serugin, serugin. And when they heard her say this, they said, oh, this is the meaning of serugin. Serugin means a little bit at a time. So they now understand that reading the Megillah, this means reading the Megillah a little bit at a time. So it's alternating reading with silence. You read a verse of the Megillah, and then you pause for 30 seconds. And then you read a verse of the Megillah, and you pause for 30 seconds. Just like a few students come, and then there's a pause. And then a few more students come, and then there's a pause. The question that we'll ask in a little bit later is, how long can the pause be? What is the maximum limit for how long the pause can be? But before we do that, we're going to tell four more stories about words the rabbis didn't know. And it is kind of funny and interesting, and also in a way there's some profundity to it, that the rabbis were willing to learn from anyone. They weren't too proud and too snobby to learn from Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's housekeeper. If she had something to teach them, they listened to what she said and they learned it and they put it in the Gemara. So there's something I think quite praiseworthy about that. Okay, here's the second story. Lo have yadi rabbanan my chalog logot. They didn't know what this kind of this word was, chalog logot. They knew it was some kind of vegetable, as Rashi points. It's a min yerek, some kind of green vegetable, but they didn't know what it was. Shamuha la'amta debi Rebbe. They heard the housekeeper of the house of Rebbe. Da amri la lahu gavra, and she was saying to a certain man, da havi kam mevader parpichne, who was separating stalks of purslane, which is some kind of green vegetable. Now that I've told you the meaning, you still don't know what it is, but it's called purslane. At least that's what the Koren Gemara says. Ad matai ata mefazer chalog logcha? How long are you going to be scattering your purslane all over the place? So then they knew that chalog logot meant this particular kind of vegetable. They learned that from Rebbe's housemaid. Lo have yadi rabbanan mai salsala utaro memeka. Now here this is slightly different. The rabbis did not know the meaning of this verse in Mishlei. which says Salsila Utaromemeka. They knew that Utaromemeka means to raise it up, but they didn't know what Salsila meant. Shamua la amta de Rebbe, they heard the housekeeper of Rebbe, Dahavat Amra lahu gavra, she was saying to a certain man, Dahave mahapech bemazie, this man was curling his hair, presumably to make himself look more attractive. He was, sitting in front of the mirror and playing with his hair. And she said to him, probably in frustration, Amrila, she said to him, Ad matai ata misalsel besarecha, how long are you going to sit there curling your hair? And once they heard it, they knew that salsala means to curl. Not to curl, but to turn over. So Rashi says that it means particularly, find it here, he says, Lamadnu shehasilsul lashon chipus v'hipuch, to turn it over, to be constantly looking into it for new meaning. So the idea here is that the rabbis were always, hafochba v'hafochba, they were turning the Torah over, looking at it from different angles, always trying to find different meaning in it. Obviously, that's not what the guy who was fixing his hair was doing. He was just twirling it to make it look pretty. Perhaps that element is here as well, that the rabbis find the Torah to be so beautiful that they're constantly playing with it to bring out the beauty in it. Okay, here's the fourth story. Lo havu yadi rabbanan mai hashlich al Hashem yahavcha. Here's another verse where it says, cast onto Hashem your yahav, and they didn't know what the word yahav meant. Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Rabbi Bar Chana said, zimna chada. Rabbi Bar Chana traveled widely, and he had all sorts of stories about his travels. Many of them are really crazy and outlandish stories. Zimna chada, one time, hava azilna bahade hahutaya, I was traveling with a certain Arab merchant, Arab, nomad, vika darina tuna, and he had a burden, and I had a burden on my shoulders. V'amar lein, he said to me, shkol yahavayich v'shadeag malai, he goes, take your burden and put it on my camel. You can put your load on my camel. So from here he learned that the word yahav means a burden, and the meaning of the verse is, cast your burdens on Hashem. Let Hashem help you. He will take the burden off of your shoulder and bear it himself. Okay, fifth and final story. Lo have yadi rabbanan mai vitate tiha bimatate hashmed. They didn't know the meaning of this verse from Yeshayahu that used this word mitatea. Shamua la'amta debi Rebbe, they heard Rebbe's housemaid. So all four out of five stories are about Rebbe's housemaid, and one is an Arab merchant. I don't know. Dahavat amra lachaverta, she was saying to her friend, shkole tatea, take the broom, vitate beta, and sweep the house. And by the way, a mitatea in modern Hebrew means a broom as well, but they didn't know what this meant, what this word meant. So they learned from Rebbe's housemaid that vitate tiha b'mateate means to sweep. So Hashem will sweep away our enemies and destroy them. And they learned that it meant a broom and to sweep from Rebbe's housemaid. That takes us to the bottom of Yud Chet Amud Aleph. We'll stop there. Have a wonderful day.